This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 30 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WW Today. And with me on the show today is Michelle Scribner-McLean, who is counting the days till her first marathon.
I wish I could just go out and run it today. I'm like, can't wait, just can't wait. I'm sure a lot of people out there listening feel the same way. And I have a shout out to one of our listeners who posted on Facebook. His name is Dave Kish, and he is from Toledo, Ohio. And I asked people what they got for Christmas, and Dave listed all sorts of things that he got. He says he's a new runner. He's just starting to run. And he got lots of fun running gear. So big shout out to Dave, and congratulations on your next journey running. That's so cool, and we hope we can help.
Congratulations, Dave. Also with us on the show, counting the days to his next sock shipment, is the owner of Capital City Running and known as Sock Geek, Steve Brenhot. How you doing, Steve?
Outstanding, outstanding. Yeah, no, the holidays, we're very busy with socks, so I'm kind of socked out right now. So I got to get freshened up and be ready for hopefully a big 2013.
So does that mean people got socks in their socks? In their stockings?
I would think so. But yeah, the amount of socks that we sent out, I think there was a lot of happy runners out there with new socks today. And in fact, there was some people that have made notes that they were running at Disney. So
cool.
We'll be looking for those guys down there and cheering them on.
Okay, let's hope that people don't get socked in from traveling to Disney World and marathon weekend. Okay, so we're doing questions.
You're such a heel.
Yes, we're going to start right in with our first question of the day, and it comes from Carrie from Salina, Texas. And Carrie says, do you know if there has been any word on the Tower of Terror 10 Miler and the Wine and Dine Half, when it will be held, when they will be held, if they will be held on the same weekends in 2013 as they were in 2012? If not, any idea when they will be released, when the dates will be released? Thank you. Love the podcast. Michelle, I think you've been keeping track of the dates, right?
Sure. I had to do some digging because she's absolutely right. This is not on the website, but I found the information from two different places. So I checked it and checked it twice. The Disney volunteer page and also the Wine and Dine Half Marathon official program that we got at the race a few months ago had the upcoming information. So here we go. The Tower of Terror weekend is going to be four different events. It's basically going to be the Friday, September 27th through Saturday, September 28th, 2013. So the pickup is on the 27th and 28th. The kids' races are going to be on the 28th. The Disney's Happy Haunted 5K trail run will be on Saturday the 28th in the morning. And then the Tower of Terror 10-miler is going to be on that night, the 28th. And the Wine and Dine weekend is going to be November 8th and 9th in 2013. So you have plenty of time to plan and train.
A lot of people were commenting, those who did the 5K and the 10-miler, that they were not too crazy about making that decision to do the 5K in the morning and the 10-miler that night. So it'll be interesting to see if those same people will do it again next year.
I have a feeling it'll sell out. It's pretty popular.
Our next question comes from Liz in Chicago, a town that Steve, I think, recently visited. And Liz says, I would like to follow friends' progress during the January marathon races. I would also like to show family and friends how to follow me when I run the Princess Half in February. Could you provide a little information on how to follow someone's bib? Thanks for doing this podcast and for answering my questions. Happy New Year, Liz. Steve, you want to take us on this journey?
Sure. Yeah, I was looking on the Run Disney website, in fact, even today, and it doesn't appear that they have the link set up yet to be able to put in the information for the runner tracking, but they will offer runner tracking. So check the Run Disney website. If not, I know you can you can register for it at the expo, and that's basically where you'll give your I believe it's your cell phone number, and they'll send you periodic updates from different portions on the course, so you'll get an idea of where your runner's at any given time. Used it in the past, and it's a heck of a lot of fun, and it works really well.
Yeah, I wanted to just chime in too. If you go right on the marathon weekend link and then go into spectators, there's a link there that says runner tracking, and it's, as Steve says, it's not live yet, but you can either get a text message, or you can get an email, or you can get both, and you can follow as many people as you want. I follow lots of friends even when I'm running, and I also follow myself so that I can look at my splits really quickly right after the race and see how I did.
Yeah, the cell towers, I should say, are really taxed on marathon weekend. Our next question comes from Michael Corbett. And Michael has a question about running bibs. He says, it's a simple question, very silly. No, he says, it's a silly question, but how do I keep my running bib on top if I am wearing layers to the race? Well, Mike, it's very simple. If you don't have a device like a running, like an iFitness running belt or some kind of a belt that enables you to put your bib on it, you'll have to use the old safety pins and put it on your shirt underneath, and hopefully at some point in the race, you know, you'll be taking off your shirt and you'll be able to display your bib. Other people will wear their bib on their shorts. So those are two possibilities, Michelle.
Well, I have a iFitness belt, and my bib goes on there. I also have some running skirts. I know Michael probably doesn't have those, but they have little places, and you can buy little belts, as Mike said. If I was doing the pin method, which I have done before, I put it on the lower layer, and then whenever I want to go, if I'm going by a photographer, I just lift that part of my shirt up if I haven't. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? Just lift up the top layer. Lift up the top layer so that they can see the number. But, you know, as you peel, if you think you're going to peel off that top layer, put it on the layer underneath. And, you know, the tracker will still be able to track you, so you don't have any worries about that.
Yeah. Steve, you want to chime in?
Yeah, I always wear mine on my leg. But just as a side note, I was looking at the long-range weather forecast, and looking at the temperatures that have been down there so far, I don't know if much layering is going to be required. Looking at somewhere in the mid to upper 50s at the start, if everything holds, and with a high somewhere in the mid 70s, but we'll never, you know, that's later in the days. But outside of maybe having a little something at the start that you might throw away just before the start, I don't know if we're going to be layering up all that much this year. At least I'm hoping.
Well, that's cold enough for me to wear layers, definitely.
Okay, our next question comes from Tracy. I hope I pronounced your name right, Tracy. I'm going to say Kozienik. And she says, I read or heard something about the captain's grill for breakfast after the half. I am stupid enough to be doing the goofy, so I will have to hit the pancakes as soon as I can for the next day. Is it possible or feasible to get through to the boardwalk area? I will be doing a one half real slow and prep for the full. Say a 955 ADR. So, Michelle, do you want to? I have thoughts on this, but why don't you start this?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what she's asking, but I think she's saying, is the traffic situation going to be such that she can make it over there? And definitely you can, because you have to remember, Tracy, that when I've been there, there are a lot of guests who don't even know that a race is going on, and they need to be able to get back to their resorts or from their resorts to Epcot. So there will be people lined up. They won't be lined up in that direction, will they? I'm thinking about the marathon. So for the half, you'll be fine. You'll be able to walk over there with no problems at all. Do you agree, Mike?
All right. So the first thought is she says she's doing a real slow half, which is smart because she's doing the goofy the next day. I don't know where she's starting in the corral, so I don't know when she's going to be starting. But my guess is that she should be at Epcot at least by 9. And then walk to, then I guess you're going to have to walk, Tracy, you're going to have to walk right from the finish to the captain's grill, and you should be fine.
But she'll have to pay park admission if she does that, though, Mike, because she'll be walking through Epcot and World Showcase, right?
That's right. So she should have stuff in her, either she should be meeting someone at the finish, or she should have her park admission in her or a bag that she checks. But I think it's possible, but she's going to have to, you know, as soon as she finishes, she's going to have to go right over to the, to,
What about going out in front of Epcot and taking a resort bus to the yacht club because she's going to the Captain's Grill? Wouldn't that be faster, or do you think it'll be too congested after the race?
I don't know if I had a, I don't even know if there are, I don't even know if there are buses to the yacht club outside Epcot.
Oh, beach and yacht club? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. That's a good good question. But my guess is that, you know, the 9:55 is okay. I would just say, Tracy, that you're going to have to plan accordingly, whoever you're going to be having breakfast with, and say, as soon as I finish, bang, we're going to go over there. And I would also say, have someone ready to check in for you so you don't have to rush over there. Okay, let's go to the next question, which discusses the buses and the monorail during marathon weekend. And this comes from Elvin Torres. And Elvin writes, I'm getting excited for the race marathon weekend. I had a question about transportation the morning of the race. I'm not sure which race he's saying. The Run Disney site mentions the special bus transportation, which runs from 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. for the half, and 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. for the full. So it seems the buses do not run while folks are starting out on the course. Does the same hold true for the monorails? My family is staying at the Polynesian, and I was hoping they could simply take the monorail to the Magic Kingdom at 5:30 or 6 a.m. in order to see me run through the park for the half marathon. Does the monorail continue to run the entire time, and can my family use it to get from the Polynesian to the Magic Kingdom and then out to the finish line for the half? Thanks again for the podcast. It has been a huge help while training for my first Disney race. Michelle? I mean, the answer is yes. Go ahead. Go ahead. All right, I guess I can answer this. The answer is yes, Elvin. I mean, the monorail is going to be running. It's just going to be very, very slow because everybody's going to be using it to go back and forth from Epcot to the Magic Kingdom. I think your family will be able to use it. One of the things that you may want to consider telling them is that when they get up in the morning, they may want to take the monorail to the Contemporary and walk from the Contemporary to the Magic Kingdom. I know it sounds silly, but it may be difficult to get on the monorail that's heading towards the Magic Kingdom, but taking a resort monorail from the Polynesian to the Contemporary may be the smart thing to do. And again, you have to remember that the monorails will be used by all those people who are tracking and trying to cheer on their family. So that means a lot of people. I don't know. I don't want to put any numbers up, but there's a lot of people. Steve or Michelle, you want to chime in on this?
No, I agree with you. I think you're the pro on moving around during race day.
Well, I've never taken the bus, so yeah. I'm not sure. I've always been able to find a way to avoid it. So, and I'll be staying off property this time, so I'll be driving in. So I'm out of the loop on that one, but good luck, Dalvin.
You're a smart man for not using the bus, Steve. All right. Let's see. We have, okay, this is a good question, that Steve. Ready for this, Steve? This is
sure.
Question on transitioning to the Goofy. It's from Heather Worth, and she says, I have a question for everyone. I have not done a full marathon, but have done quite a few half marathons. I am really interested in doing the Goofy Challenge in January 2014. I am a slow run walker who averages 14 minutes per mile. Am I crazy to even consider the race? Does it change your opinion if I say that my goal would be just to finish and not hit a certain time? Thanks. Steve?
That is a great question.
Yeah, I say why not? You know, it's, you know, you got plenty of time to train for it. You know, you do have some experience with those halves. I think that, you know, one question, and did you answer clearly here is, you know, are you running to finish? Or are you running for, you know, a particular goal or for performance? And it looks like you're just looking to finish. So, you know, you got plenty of time to put together a solid training program where you'll put those runs together that will give you the time on your feet and the experience to be able to run back-to-back events. In my opinion, I don't think you would be crazy to consider doing that. I think there's actually quite a few people that do the Goofy that are in that same boat, you know, that have done halves before and never have done a full, and figuring, hey, while I'm down there and they're offering both races, why not jump in? So I would encourage you to do so and put together a good training program and follow it. And I think you'd have a lot of success. What do you guys think?
Well, I'd like to chime in because I'm actually considering this too. I haven't finished my first marathon yet, but having done many long runs now, very long runs, over 17 miles. One of the things that I'm thinking of, Heather, is that I like that you said you've done a few half marathons, because I think Steve mentioned this maybe towards the beginning when we first started podcasting, the danger of kind of ramping up too quickly. And I think for me, it took me several, until maybe my fourth or fifth half marathon, to get my head around what a half marathon was in terms of mentally what it meant to finish it. So I think that if you have a few half marathons under your belts, and especially if you're able to do at least one marathon before that goofy, I think that would put you in a better position. But I love the planning. I mean, you're really thinking of this early, and I think that you can do it. I don't think, especially if time is not an issue, if you're not worried about time, if you can stick to that solid 14 minute mile.
Yeah, last year, Heather, I trained for the half and the marathon relay. So I ran half marathon on Saturday and half marathon on Sunday. And I can tell you how important, like when Steve said, the planning and the training, you really have to put together a plan and stick with it. And you have to make sure that you give yourself enough time so that you don't hurt yourself when you're training. Basically, what you're doing is you're training your body to run on tired legs. And if you can figure out how to do it without hurting yourself, then you shouldn't have any problems. But like Michelle said, it'd be good to get a marathon under your belt before you.
I just want to add one more thing, which is that a lot of people I know who do the goofy, and I'm not an expert on the goofy, but a lot of people do just what one of the people who wrote a letter in earlier said, they take a really slow time doing the half marathon. They use that as their, kind of just their warm up. So consider that's the day that you really take it easy. You slow it down.
And just if I can add to that, the slowest half marathon I've ever run ever was the one year I did the goofy. I ran the half with my wife on Saturday. And so we took our time, took lots of pictures and everything. And so I was fresh as a daisy and ready to go on Sunday.
Okay, we have one question. It comes from Catherine Burlingame. Oh, no, it's Catherine from Burlingame, California. Okay. It says, "Hi, Mickey Miles crew. I really love the podcast. I've been waiting for a podcast for a while now that combines my love of running with Disney. You guys rock. As I get ready for my third Walt Disney World Marathon and my first Goofy, I'd love to hear some memorable moments you've had at Disney races. What moment sticks out to you as your favorite? For me, it's my first Walt Disney World Marathon, running from Disney Hollywood Studios to Epcot and having so many people there cheering me on as I ran down that walkway to the beach club. Complete strangers genuinely cheering for me. It was awesome. Oh, and a funny moment was running into Epcot and passing by France and just seeing the beast there waving calmly. He just looked so lonely since no one wanted to stop in the last mile, and it made me chuckle. So what was your favorite run Disney memory? Thanks again for the great podcast." Steve, why don't you go first?
Well, mine is kind of a memory. I think it was the second year I ever went down to run the marathon. It was very, very warm and humid. And at the time I was living in cold weather, Wisconsin. So I hadn't done a lot of hot weather training. So I wasn't acclimated to it. And a lot of people are, hopefully your guys' memories are going to be of these glorious things happening. Mine's kind of more of a little bit of a disaster. I started getting some cramping around 22 miles in my right hamstring. And I've never had this. So I didn't know how to adjust to it, because it's just something that never happened to me. But because, again, the heat, and I wasn't acclimated to it. And I'll be honest with you, we got in front of Italy Pavilion heading toward the finish through the World Showcase. And my right hamstring tightened up so bad that and a cramp so bad, one that I mere words would not be able to describe the amount of pain I was in. And it was and actually I was kind of howling. And as somebody went by and they looked at me, I wonder what was going through their head when they saw me in my misery. And that always still sticks out to me as one of my biggest Disney run memories, because it was such an unusual situation. I've never had the problem ever again since. But just that day, my body and those temperatures, and it just hit me. And that will always be something I will – every time we go through the World Showcase now, if it's running the marathon or visiting the park or whatever, every time I walk by that light pole in Italy – I clearly remember being racked with pain in my right hamstring at that pole many years before. So hopefully your guys' are a little bit more enjoyable and enlightening than mine, but that is one of my biggest Disney run memories.
Did you finish?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good.
But I'll tell you, I was holding that hamstring together the way to the finish line.
Yikes.
And like you said, just came out of nowhere. But I probably so shows that I was not acclimated and was not hydrating enough for that type of weather. And it caught up to me in big time.
All right. I have a few, but I'm going to make them really fast, I promise. The first one would be my first run with my son, Liam, the 5K that we did. He just made it gloriously funny and fun, and I really enjoyed that. Another one would be the Tower of Terror 10-miler. It was my first time running the whole race with two buddies, Christine and Holly, and they made it so fun. We did a lot of singing. We took our picture with the gravediggers. That was really fun. During that same race, another memorable moment was waiting for Mike to finish because it was such a hot day, and we were all worried about each other, and it was really nice to see him. But my absolute favorite Run Disney moment was the first time that I saw my friend Stephanie Mathias come around the corner and head towards the finish line for the 5K. And the look on her face, there were about 30 people cheering for her. It is just etched in my heart. It's just when I'm getting teary just thinking about it. She worked so hard and she did such a great job, and she stopped and hugged everybody along the way to get her medal. So that was fantastic. Mike, what about you?
Well, you stole my thunder with Stephanie, because that was also one too. But I've got just a few. I mean, they're kind of all tied back a long, long time ago. I did the. I was signed up for Race for the Taste. It was Race for the Taste. I was signed up, and I went to get my bib for the Race for the Taste, and they were having a Race for the Cure the day before. So I said, what the heck? It's $25. I signed up for it. And I got there. It was just amazing. Just the sea of pink. It was only a 5K. And then the next day I ran the 10K. It was just amazing. That Race for the Taste was maybe 500 people running that race. And now it's the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. I always remember that because of the way they treated us. And just, it was so much different than now, because you have so many people that they have to service. That was number one. Number two, when I ran the Princess Half, I think I've told this story many times. Nature called when I was just about to at the TTC, and I went into the men's room, and I was in the men's room, and all these women came in, and they were all patting me on the shoulder and saying, well, it is our day. It was a Princess Half. So I always remember that. And then earlier this year, Michelle, I never picture myself as doing the goofy. It doesn't really appeal to me. But doing the half marathon and then doing the half, then doing the marathon relay the next day, you know, being able to run two half marathons in, you know, 2 days in a row was really something. And it shows you what you can do. And I mean, I always remember that. So it's just kind of nice. I think there's more memories, you know, to follow, but that was pretty good. Thanks for the
great question.
And that was really good. We have no more questions, but we do have feedback from Deb from Washington, D.C. And she says, hi there. I just wanted to let you know how much I love your podcast. My wife and I are training for the Disney races in January. She's attempting her first half marathon. I will be attempting my first goofy. I love running at Disney and have really enjoyed listening to your podcast on my training runs. Thank you for starting this, and please keep it up. Well, Deb, thank you for those kind words, and we'll keep going as long as we have listeners. So thank you again for those kind words. Now, first thing we're going to do is we're going to give away socks, and for that I'm going to turn to Michelle.
Okay, so we had 8 people write in, and I've taken the names and I have put them in random order. And as per tradition here on the Mickey Miles podcast, we will have Steve choose a number, and then I will tell you who won those socks.
All right, socks courtesy of sockgeek.com. I'm going to say, for some reason, number 3 today.
That is Heather.
Heather.
Yeah. So Heather, give us a note. Tell us what your shoe size is, what your address is, and you can send it to questions@mickeymilepodcast.com, and we will get those socks out to you. And when I say we, I mean Steve will get those socks out to you.
They will. I'm knitting them right now as we speak, Heather. So I'll be awaiting the information to get these out to you.
And one last announcement. We want to announce that we will be having a Mickey Miles podcast meet during the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. And that meet will take place on Friday, January 11th. It will take place at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it will take place at the Beach Club Resort Solarium. And we would love to see you there. Come say hello to myself, Michelle, and Steve, and maybe we'll have some other Mickey Miles listeners there. So remember that. It's Friday, January 11th, 4 o'clock at the Beach Club Resort Solarium. So for Michelle and Steve, this is Mike Scopa saying we will see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.